So we're on chapter number one of the first canto. The first canto is called Creation. Chapter one is Questions by the Sages. We're about midway through. We left off on text number 18. Please repeat. Atakyahi Harer Dhiman Avatara Kata Shubha Lila Vidataha. I said it wrong. Vidatata Svairam Ishvarasyatma Mayaya. Boys, you're doing very good. And your kartal and your tambourine playing was very good. Keep up the good work. You're doing excellent. Okay, please repeat. O wise Sutta, please narrate to us the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Godhead's multi-incarnations, such auspicious adventures and pastimes of the Lord, the Supreme Controller, are performed by His internal powers. So this verse, I could give a 1 hour lecture on. This is a very, it's got a lot in there. But I am now going to give the quick understanding, which I call the children's purport. And then we will go into Prabhupada's purport. So, O wise Sutta. So, the sages of Naimisharanya, headed by Shonaka, are continuing to ask questions of their guru. And, as is proper, they glorify their guru, O wise Sutta. That means they're showing great respect, recognizing that he has superior knowledge. Then the next word, please. The word please, I want you to sit over there because I don't want to have to keep turning my neck. I want to be able to see you. Good. So, the word please is very important. The word please indicates humility. Without the word please, then one comes off as being very arrogant. What to speak of when you approach a guru, a parent, a mother, a father, or somebody older than you, when you ask something, when you request something, when you want something, this word please better be there. Otherwise, you'll probably become, how shall we say, disappointed. Okay? So please, very powerful word. Even between brothers, you should use the word please. Husband and wife should also use this powerful word, please. It's such a beautiful, nice word, please. Please narrate to us. Narrate means to talk, to speak. I am now doing a narration. To narrate means to speak. The transcendental pastimes. So yes, Krishna's pastimes are not material. They're not mundane. They're transcendental. Of the Supreme Godhead's multi-incarnations. That means Krishna has different incarnations. Some are human form, some animal form, some aquatic form. He has different incarnations taking on various forms. Multi means many. Yes. Unlimited, fine. Multi, unlimited, many, yes. Ring your bell. That is correct. Can I continue? Such auspicious adventures and pastimes of the Lord, yes. Auspicious. Auspicious, boys, means something is very, very good and lasts a long time. Auspicious. Something that's very good. And then adventures. Yes, because when Krishna or one of his incarnations comes, they do things that are very heroic, amazing, superhuman. No ordinary person can do. They do something that's so amazing. And sometimes it's very exciting. Like, you know, the story of Lord Ram, right? That's an adventure. How Ram was supposed to be crowned king on the day before it was determined. No, he will go to the forest for 14 years. That's a lot. When he was supposed to be king, and he's sent like a timeout, a punishment, to the forest. And then in the forest, he has to deal with his wife being kidnapped. And then he goes and he rescues his wife, and there's a big battle. And he kills, what's the demon he killed? Ravan. And then he returns home, and now he's allowed, after 14 years, to be king. And he lives in his kingdom, Ayodhya. So it's an adventure. It's exciting. Pastimes. Pastimes means that even when Ram is crying because of separation from Sita, no matter what the emotion is, for Krishna, it's all play. For Ram, it was play. Even though it looks like Ram is crying out of separation from Sita, or it looks like Ram is angry, he's actually enjoying. He's enjoying this. That's the meaning of pastimes. Pastime means like a drama, like a play. And it says here that the Lord is the supreme controller. Supreme controller means even though there may be demigods and other gods, but Krishna or Ram, they are the supreme God, are performed by his internal powers. In other words, not material, transcendental, spiritual. We do things under material powers. But Krishna, God, does things with spiritual power. Now we will tackle the purport. All in favor, say Hari Bol. For the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the material worlds, the Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, himself appears in many thousands of forms of incarnations. And the specific adventures found in those transcendental forms are all auspicious. Both those who are present during such activities and those who hear the transcendental narrations of such activities are benefited. So you and I, most likely we were not present during the Ram Leela. Or we are not present in the Krishna Leela. So, that doesn't matter. Prabhupada is saying here, those who hear, so by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, we will hear about all these different incarnations, because that's what they're asking. They want to know, tell us about these multi-incarnations. So, even though we were not present, by hearing about it, reading it, we are benefited. Benefited means you get good out of it. You become better for it. You become happy for it. Any questions or shall we continue? Ring the bell. Maybe, maybe not, but go ahead. If you were there, you would have gotten liberated. All the residents of Ayodhya went back with Ram. All those who were present in Krishna Leela. So, I wouldn't think, maybe you were, but for me, I'm thinking, I missed the boat. Okay? All right. Any, you have another question?
No.
All right. Okay, good. Text number 19. Hold on a second. Here we go. Vayam tu na vitrapyama uttamashloka vikrame yach trinvatam rasa gyanang svadu svadu pade pade. This is another nice, very nice verse. Go to the synonyms. Look at the word uttama shloka. Everybody see in the synonyms? Right? Do you see the uttama shloka? What does it say? The personality of Godhead who was glorified by transcendental prayers. Uttama shloka. Uttama means topmost, transcendental, supreme, uttama. The word tama means dark, ignorance. Uttama, beyond the darkness. Shloka, verse like that. All right. And then this other word. You see the word svadu. Svadu. It appears twice. And Prabhupada translates it two different ways. First, relishing. Relishing means, like this, boys, you're eating something and you go, that's what means you are relishing. If you eat something and you go, that's not relishing. Relishing means, what is your favorite food? What is your favorite food? Mommy, what's their favorite food?
Pizza.
So when they're eating pizza, are they crying? What are they doing? Yes, that means relishing. And then the second way he translates it, palatable. Palatable means it tastes very good on the tongue. Very tasty. You hear Indian people all the time. Very tasty. All right. And then this next phrase, pade pade. At every step. In other words, it's not material. Material pleasures have a beginning and an end. But spiritual things increase step by step. I have to do the translation. Please repeat. We never tire of hearing the transcendental pastimes of the personality of Godhead. Who is glorified by hymns and prayers. Those who have developed a taste for transcendental relationships with Him relish hearing of His pastimes at every moment. So in this verse, boys, I'm speaking to you. In this verse, the sages, headed by who? Who is the leader of the sages? That's where they are at. But who is their leader? No. Okay, I've said it 1,000 times. Shaunaka. Say it. He's the leader of the sages. All right? He says, we never tire. In other words, they're not bored. They can hear whatever sutta is going to speak about God, they will not get tired. Most people, what are they going to do today? Watch the stupid ball. All right? It's a sports game, football. It's one of the biggest unheard of holidays in America. It's worldwide. Millions of people around the world will watch this game. Yes. So, the sages, now, we go to temple, some people come. But most people, they don't want to go to temple. They want to stay home and watch TV. All right? And a lot of people think, oh, going to temple, going to church, it's boring. Right? But the sages are different. They will not get tired. They expect Sutta to speak long, 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 long time. And they won't get bored or tired. And that they're addressing God with this word, Uttama Shloka. Say it. Uttama Shloka. One of Krishna's unlimited names, multi names, unlimited, which means that whenever there's a verse describing Krishna, they use the topmost language, the topmost poetry. You choose their words very nicely. Then they say, those who have developed a taste for transcendental relationships. So when you come to bhakti yoga, there is this thing called rasa. Prabhupada's going to talk about it in the purport. So there are five rasas. Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Sringar. These are the five basic relationships you have with beautiful Radha Krishna. It's nothing to do with order. They're just, you can name them as you like, but there are five basic ones. Okay? Actually, Prabhupada talked about this in one of the three opening verses. We read already in the purport how there are five major and seven minor. And the whole Nectar of Devotion book is all about rasa. All right. So they say, relish hearing of his pastimes at every moment. It's a question of developing a taste. For instance, whether it be meat or alcohol, or anything in this material world, a lot of times, the first experience is not necessarily pleasant. But you try again and again, and then you get a taste for it. That's what happens to all these people. They start smoking, even though anyone who first starts smoking, immediately... So that's the body telling you, stupid, why are you smoking? But no, their mind is like, no, but I got to be cool, man. I got to be, you know, all my friends are smoking, so now I got to smoke. So even though the first experience, you keep doing it. And then you get a taste. Same with drinking. Anyone who drinks, their first alcohol is like, it's like, especially whiskey. There's a kind of alcohol whiskey. You drink that whiskey and it's like fire. It's like, But you're in the bar, you're in the club, you're with your friends, and they're all, So you don't want to look like a sissy. Yes, sir? Yes. That's what we're talking, acquired taste. So you train yourself to like it, and then you start to like it. Now, in spiritual life, we want to also acquire a taste. For instance, anyone who is just starting japa, it's hard. They don't have a taste. But they know, but I've got, this is good for me. So they go through. And then little by little, they get a taste for japa. Or a taste for hearing Bhagavatam. Reading Bhagavatam. A taste for anything in spiritual life. If you develop a taste, whether it be Bhagavatam or chanting or... Like now, the Garmalkar boys, they have a taste for kirtan. That is going to save them, that taste for kirtan. You have a taste for Bhagavatam. Don't lose it. Don't lose that taste. I have a taste for preaching. That is the greatest taste. I'll drop anything. I'll go anywhere. If there's an opportunity to preach, I'll prove it to you. Long time ago, in the early 90s, I was at Govinda's restaurant. And do you know Pavaka? So Pavaka, in the past, Pavaka had gotten me preaching engagements in Topanga and other places. So she called me at Govinda's and said, there's one Indian gentleman, he wants you to come to his house and preach. And so I said, yeah, but she said, no, he really wants you to come. So I dropped everything. I went to his house. At that time, I didn't have a car. I had a scooter. I was working a job. So I dropped everything. It was like a Saturday. And I told my wife, okay, I'm going to go do this preaching. So I went, and he lived all the way, I think, in Pasadena. So I went to his house. He cooked. I did a little class. Because somehow or other, I've got a taste for preaching. And if somebody calls me tomorrow and says, I need you to come and do a class, I'll go. I'm doing this class, right? I have a taste. All right, let's look at the purport. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra. Purport. There is a great difference between mundane stories, fiction, or history, and the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. The histories of the whole universe contain references to the pastimes of the incarnations of the Lord. The Ramayana, the Mahabharata, and the Puranas are histories of bygone ages recorded in connection with the pastimes of the incarnations of the Lord, and therefore remain fresh even after repeated readings. For example, anyone may read Bhagavad Gita or the Srimad Bhagavatam repeatedly throughout his whole life, and yet find in them new light of information. And that has been my experience. I have been reading Bhagavatam and Gita now 40 years. And still I enjoy. I read Krishna book. That was the first book I actually read. And here it is even today, before coming here. What was I reading? Krishna book. The same book for 40 years, and I still enjoy it. For example, anyone may read Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam repeatedly throughout his whole life. You're not reading along? You have to read along, not look outside. You have the book. You have to read as I read. Yes. It's called school. This is like school. This is your Sunday school. Are you on the right page? For example, anyone may read. For For example, anyone may read. You have to follow along. For example, he's doing, right? He's following along. You can read. For example, anyone may read Bhagavad Gita or the Srimad Bhagavatam repeatedly throughout his whole life and yet find in them new light of information. Mundane news is static, whereas transcendental news is dynamic, inasmuch as spirit is dynamic and matter is static. Those who have developed a taste for understanding the transcendental subject matter are never tired of hearing such narrations. One is quickly satiated by mundane activities, but no one is satiated by transcendental or devotional activities. Uttama Shloka indicates that literature which is not meant for nescience. Mundane literature is in the mode of darkness or ignorance, whereas transcendental literature is quite different. Transcendental literature is above the mode of darkness, and its light becomes more luminous with progressive reading and realization of the transcendental subject matter. The so-called liberated persons are never satisfied by the repetition of the words Aham Brahmasmi. Such artificial realization of Brahman becomes hackneyed. And so to relish real pleasure, they turn to the narrations of Srimad Bhagavatam. Those who are not so fortunate turn to altruism and worldly philanthropy. This means the Mayavad philosophy is mundane, whereas the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is transcendental. Yes, sir. Okay, when you become an impersonalist, the first thing you understand, Aham Brahma Asmi, I am spirit. So that is their meditation. I am the first lesson of Bhagavad Gita, right? What's the first lesson of Bhagavad Gita? Yes? That's not the first lesson of Bhagavad Gita. What's the first lesson of Bhagavad Gita? No. You boys shouldn't have known this. I'm disappointed. Now you're going to learn it. And so whenever I ask it, you're going to know. Repeat. The first lesson of Bhagavad Gita. I don't hear you. So I want you to say it together again. That Krishna teaches is I am not this body. I am spirit soul. Now repeat that whole thing. No, exactly the whole thing. The first lesson of Bhagavad Gita taught by Krishna is that I am not this body, I am spirit soul. You got that? Now, next time I ask that, you had better answer. You should have answered that. You've heard me say that a billion times. Ring the bell, Mahesh. Okay? Move over. Otherwise, I'm going to get a crink in my neck. All right. You have another question, Mahesh? No other question? Let's go on. Text number 20. Repeat. Kritavan, Kila, Karmani, Saha, Ramena, Keshava, Ati Martyani, Bhagavan, Gudha, Kapata, Manusha. Very good. I see two very nice words. Out of those words, boys, all the words you just chanted, what are the two, actually three words? There are three words that are very special. Do you know? Take a guess. Not Kritavan. Bhagavan, ring the bell. Very good. There are two more nice words in there. Very nice words. Boys, do you know? No. Keshava. And Mahesh? No, not Manusha. Ramena. Ramena. You were going to say that. Yeah, sure. Pinocchio. Okay. Please repeat. Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, along with Balaram, played like a human being, and so masked, he performed many superhuman acts. So I have been saying these things all along. Now, Bhagavatam confirms. So when Krishna came, his brother came with him. What's his brother's name?
Balaram.
Good. You redeemed yourselves. Now, look what it says. Played like a human being. That is what we mean by pastime. They're playing. You boys also have your pastimes. You fight. You lock the room. Do all kinds of things, right? With each other. You're playing from morning till night. Yes, Mom? Yes, because they're boys. So, Krishna and Balaram came to earth and played like a human being. And therefore, still they did superhuman acts. This morning, and one of the reasons why I was late, ring the bell, I was reading about two pastimes of Krishna. They go together. When Krishna broke the butter pot, what name of Krishna means he broke the butter pot? Not bad. Another name of Krishna, which means tied with rope. From that same past. What's his name? What? Damodar. Yes. Don't get puffed up. Yes. So, after Damodar, when Yashoda tied him up, what happened? Don't laugh. Yeah, and if he laughs at you, so what? Just ignore him. All right. Come on, you got to answer more questions. And you, behave yourself. Don't be a rascal. Don't be like Ravan. Okay. So, after Yashoda tied him up, so, what did she tie him up with? Good. And then after that, Krishna dragged the grinding mortar that he was tied to, and it got stuck between something. How many trees? Two trees. When Krishna pulled the cart, what happened to the trees? Yes, it was actually a big explosion. And what happened after that?
The souls came out.
What souls?
The
best. No, not Jai Vijay. Nalakuvara and Manigriva.
Oh, I thought that one, I forgot their name.
There were sons of what demigod?
Oh,
what?
What
demigod? Not Narayan.
The treasury demigod.
Krishna. Kuvera. Kuvera. Okay. So, Krishna was a small child, yet he was able to knock down these two trees. These two demigods came out of the trees, offered him prayers. And all the elderly people, when they heard the explosion, came out. And there were some young boys who saw the whole thing. And they told the parents what happened. But the elder parents couldn't believe it because it was too amazing that Krishna knocked down the two trees and two demigods. The old people said, Nanas, and they were hearing it from these two young kids. It's like, they're just kids. They made up some story. But the kids actually saw it. So Krishna does superhuman. If you drag a cart in between two trees, can you knock them down? No. Nobody can. But Krishna can because he's superhuman. You want to ring that bell? Go. Oh, it looked like you were. All right, purport. The doctrines of anthropomorphism and zoomorphism are never applicable to Sri Krishna or the personality of Godhead. I know what you're going to ask. So anthropomorphism means that out of necessity, human society designates another human being and puts him on the level of God. We see this in the sports world. When somebody is the best athlete, they make him like, yes, he is godlike. You know, he's not God, but human beings have to have somebody that they worship. So they select another human being and he's our God. And it happens in the religious field also. And zoomorphism means that God takes the form of an animal. So they worship some animal as God. That's what that is. Okay? The theory that, here, see, look. The theory that a man becomes God by dint of penance and austerities is very much rampant nowadays, especially in India. That you can become God. You just have to, huh? Yeah, they think you just have to do enough austerities, you become a God. Since Lord Ram, Lord Krishna, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were detected by the sages and saints to be the personality of Godhead, as indicated in revealed scriptures, many unscrupulous men, now unscrupulous means they have no morals. They're not good men. They're bad men. They're not pious. Unscrupulous. Many unscrupulous men have created their own incarnations because they make it a big industry. Oh, if we can get this guy to become God, then we can market him and we can make lots of money. Okay? This process of concocting an incarnation of God has become an ordinary business, especially in Bengal, which is where Prabhupada is from. Any popular personality with a few traits of mystic powers will display some feat of jugglery and easily become an incarnation of God by popular vote. You all know very well in India what Prabhupada's talking about. Lord Sri Krishna was not that type of incarnation. He was actually the personality of Godhead from the very beginning of his appearance. He appeared before his so-called mother as four-armed Vishnu. That was Janmashtami night, right, boys? When Krishna appeared? He first appeared as Narayan. Okay. Then at the request of the mother, he became like a human child and at once left her for another devotee at Gokula, where he was accepted as the son of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mata. Similarly, Sri Baladev, the counterpart of Lord Sri Krishna, was also considered a human child born of another wife of Sri Vasudev. So who was that other wife of Sri Vasudev. I'm going to see if the boys know.
Rohini.
Ring the bell twice. Very good. Very. Don't get puffed up. Don't laugh at him. Even though he laughed at you, you don't laugh. You be better. You be the better brother. Even though you're younger, you be the better. Okay? And I'll bless you. Yes. Haribo. All right. In Bhagavad Gita, you reading in the book? Yeah, I hope so. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that his birth and deeds are transcendental, and that anyone who is so fortunate as to know the transcendental nature of his birth and deeds will at once become liberated and eligible to return to the kingdom of God. So, that verse in the Bhagavad Gita is 4:9. Chapter 4, verse 9. Janma karma, repeat. Chame divyam. Evam. Yoveti. Tatvataha. Chaktva dehang. Punar janma. Naeti. Mameti. Sorjuna. That's a very, very, one of the most important verses out of Bhagavad Gita. Yes? 4.9. That's a verse you want to remember. It is a very enlivening verse. Because just for understanding Krishna, you get liberation. But, as we discussed in our last class, let's see if the parents remember from the last class. I was just listening to this on the tape as I was driving up. Let's see if we... Hey! You don't ever do that to your parents. They are always in the superior position. And my students always show respect to their parents. You understand? Good. The Garmalkar boys, I've always been like that. All... They started out even younger than you. Two of them started from birth with me. So whenever they would act like that with their parents, I would immediately chastise them. Now how have they turned out? Yes. You should have seen last night Mukund led the Nisringa prayers on the harmonium. Very good. So, as I was saying, everybody chant the Maha Mantra. So, the last class we had in this house, I talked about how moksha or mukti, liberation, is not the ultimate goal of chanting. What is the ultimate goal of chanting? Ring that bell. You have passed the examination. I am very proud of you. Thank you. Let us continue. In the Bhagavatam, the transcendental nature of the Lord is described in 9 cantos, and in the 10th canto, his specific pastimes are taken up. All this becomes known as one's reading of this literature progresses. It is important to note here, however, that the Lord exhibited his divinity even from the lap of his mother. Now, what was the first killing that Krishna did? Kams? No, Kams came later. Who was the first demon Krishna killed? Putana. Now, how old was Krishna when he did that?
2 years old?
Not even 3 months old. Not even 3 months. Because the later on, he killed a demon when he was 3 months. So Putana was killed before he was even 3 months old.
1 month.
Maybe 1 month. So, what 1 month-old baby is going to kill anybody? Impossible. But because Even though he has that baby form, he's still almighty, all-powerful God. That's our Krishna. Let's continue. His divinity, even from the lap of his mother, his deeds are all superhuman. Then Prabhupada gives his example. He lifted Govardhan Hill at the age of 7. And that all these acts definitely prove him to be actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet, due to his mystic covering, he was always accepted as an ordinary human child by his so-called father and mother and other relatives. Whenever some Herculean task, so that word Herculean, in the Greek mythology, their great warrior is Hercules. And Hercules had all these powers. So now in the English language, this word Herculean is an adjective which is used to describe something as being superhuman. Whenever some Herculean task was performed by him, the father and mother took it otherwise, and they remained satisfied with unflinching filial love for their son. Filial means parent. As such, the sages of Naimisharanya describe him as apparently resembling a human being. But actually, he is what? Read it. The Supreme. Yes. Very good. So he is good. I'm going to be watching you, boy. He is the Supreme Almighty Personality of Godhead. Let us continue. Maybe we'll finish. How many more verses in this chapter? Can you see how many more verses are in this chapter? What number is the last one? Then let's finish it. This will be a good day, Super Bowl Sunday, to finish chapter 1. This is an occasion. All right. Pay attention. But he needs his book. Yes. Yes. All right, please repeat. Kalim Agatam Agyaya Kshetresmin Vaishnave Vayam Asina Dirgha Satrena Katayam Sakshana Hare. Can't find your glasses? Well, those aren't glasses. All right. Are you going to be able to read? Well then. Okay, not now. But hey, from now on, when you come to this class, you should have your glasses. It's very important that you read. You understand? Okay. Now, I see two words in this Sanskrit verse that stand out as words that look like very familiar words. What are the two words that look very familiar? Excellent. Ring the bell. Look at the verse. If you don't have glasses, how can you read? That's a common word that you're familiar with? Go ahead. Go ahead. Okay, good. Okay. That was the one I was looking for. But you get extra credit. Kalim, good. And Kata, not bad. Not bad, Mahesh. All right. All right. Please repeat. Knowing well that the age of Kali has already begun, we are assembled here in this holy place to hear at great length the transcendental message of Godhead, and in this way perform sacrifice. Well, this verse is quite revealing. So, they knew that the age of Kali began because when does the age of Kali officially begin? Who knows? Ring that bell. Somebody has paid attention to my classes. Thank you. So when did the age of Kali begin? When Krishna what?
Krishna depart.
Where does he depart? Where does he go? Where does he go? He goes back home, back to Godhead. That's Goloka Vrindavan, but better to say he goes back to the spiritual world. You got that? Okay. So, that already took place. So they knew age of Kali has already begun. Yes, but that was Krishna's disappearance. Okay. Yes?
Maharaj Parikshit, the birth of Maharaj Parikshit, was that also another sign that Kali Yuga is done?
Maybe. But the Bhagavatam says at least three times the age of Kali begins with the disappearance of Krishna. Are you following along in the book?
Sure.
All right, so that's why I give that answer. Because the Bhagavatam itself, not the purport, the actual statement of the Bhagavatam, at least three times says, the age of Kali began with Krishna's returning back home, back to Godhead.
Did it already say that?
No, it will say that. No. Okay. We are assembled here in this holy place. So, you over there, what's the holy place where the sages are? What's the holy place? Huh? Say it. Yes, say it loud. Thank you. Very good. And they're going to hear at great length. They're going to be here for 1,000 years. And in this way perform sacrifice. Now that's significant. They're not so much interested in the Homa. They are thinking the best sacrifice to usher in this age of Kali is to hear from Suta Goswami the 6 questions that they have asked him. That's how they're going to do sacrifice. See, many people think, oh, sacrifice means you call the Purohit and you do the Homa. Right. But in ISKCON we know that's not important. What's important is the hearing and chanting. Now I will tell you a story. When Prabhupada installed Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan, and he also installed Radha Shama Sundar and Gaur Nitai. So that took place in April of 1975. So, since it was Vrindavan, and it was the first Angrezi Mandir, right? So, Prabhupada was very smart. So, for the installation of the deities, Prabhupada invited all the smarta Brahmins and all the Purohits of Vrindavan. You come, you do the installation of the deities. Prabhupada was smart because he knew that if he didn't do that, then all the residents of Vrindavan would not accept this Angrezi Mandir. They would say, they were not properly installed. They did not do all the things. So Prabhupada said, he invited all of the smart everyone, come, install. Then, while that was going on, Prabhupada had his devotees do kirtan throughout the whole process. Hours of kirtan in the temple. And Prabhupada writes, you'll read it in the 6th canto, I think it was. Prabhupada writes, As far as I was concerned, the installation could have gone on without this. But as long as there was Sankirtan, that's all that was required. But Prabhupada did it to keep everybody happy. But it's that Prabhupada, it's one of the purports we're going to read. As far as I was concerned, Prabhupada said, Sankirtan was sufficient for the installation of the deities. All right. Are we ready to go? Let's go. This age of Kali is not at all suitable for self-realization, as was Satyayuga, the golden age, or Treta or Dwarpa Yugas, the silver and copper ages. Yes, I remembered that in our last class. For self-realization, the people in Satyayuga, living a lifetime of 100,000 years, were able to perform prolonged meditation. And in Treta Yuga, when the duration of life was 10,000 years, self-realization was attained by performance of great sacrifice. And in the Dwapara Yuga, when the duration of life was 1,000 years, self-realization was attained by worship of the Lord. But in the Kali Yuga, the maximum duration of life being 100 years only, and that combined with various difficulties, the recommended process of self-realization is that of hearing and chanting of the holy name, fame, and pastimes of the Lord. The sages of Naimisharanya began this process in a place meant specifically for the devotees of the Lord. They prepared themselves to hear the pastimes of the Lord over a period of 1,000 years. So I have been saying that for many, many years, and now it's confirmed. There is a very important verse that I recommend you learn. And that verse means, Yasya deve para bhaktir, yata deve tata gurau, tasyaite katihita hiyarta, prakashante mahatmanaha. This verse is from the Upanishads. And Prabhupada preaches this verse. And I think I have understood it somewhat. That if you have implicit full faith that Krishna is God, and you have equal amount of faith that your spiritual master is representing God, if you have those two things, then you will have the proper understanding when you read Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's been my experience. I'm giving a class, I'm preaching, and I'll say something and I'll go, why did I say that? Where did that come from? Then later on, I'm reading Prabhupada's books and I go, oh, I was right. So this reminds me that if I keep full faith in Krishna and Prabhupada, I'm not going to worry because I will say the right thing at the right time. So keep your faith in Krishna and Guru. You got that? Yes, sir. Yes, after the class, I will find that verse for you. Okay? Now that you have folio, you have now stepped up into the higher echelon with me. Because now I can give you access more easily. So this is good that this has been arranged. Now you're in my inner sanctum. Let's continue. Are you following along? You don't have your glasses. Okay. They prepared themselves to hear the pastimes of the Lord over a period of 1,000 years. By the example of these sages, one should learn that regular hearing and recitation of the Bhagavatam is the only way for self-realization. Yes? Okay. Other attempts are simply a waste of time, for they do not give any tangible results. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached this system of Bhagavat Dharma, and he recommended that all those who were born in India should take the responsibility of broadcasting the messages of Lord Sri Krishna, primarily the message of Bhagavad Gita. And when one is well established in the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, he can take up the study of Srimad Bhagavatam for further enlightenment in self-realization. Yes, sir. Which one? Which one? Okay. By the example of these sages, one should learn that regular hearing and recitation of the Bhagavatam is the only way for self-realization. So we're doing that at least once a week, as much as we can. Correct? Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached this system of Bhagavad Dharma, and he recommended that all those who were born in India should take the responsibility of broadcasting the messages of Lord Sri Krishna, primarily the message of Bhagavad Gita. And when one is well established in the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, he can take up the study of Srimad Bhagavatam for further enlightenment in self-realization. Yes? Okay, let's continue then. Text 22. Oh, you got your glasses. So from now on, when we have our class, you be responsible and you bring your glasses. You understand? Text 22. Tvam na sandarshito datra dushtarang nisti tirshatam kalem sattva haram pungsam karnadhara ivarnavam. Now boys, go to the section which says synonyms. Good. Now find the word karnadhara. What does it mean? It's in the synonyms. Find karnadhara. What does it mean? Very good. Captain, is that what it says in your book? That's important. That's the key word in this verse. Please repeat. Translation. We think that we have met your goodness by the will of providence, just so that we may accept you as captain of the ship for those who desire to cross the difficult ocean of Kali, which deteriorates all the good qualities of a human being. Well, there's a lot in this verse. Now, it says, the will of providence. You all see that? You see the will? So this term, providence, Prabhupada uses this a lot. Providence means the unseen hand of God. That's what providence means. That something happens in one's life. Nobody knows how and why, but it's so amazing, you take it. Ah, God intervened in this. Providence. Some people say providence means destiny. That could be. But I like to say providence is Krishna in the heart. Super soul. Why do I say that? In the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about five things that determine the success of any material action. And the fifth factor is Daiva, providence, the hand of God, super soul. Because it's super soul who gives thumbs up or thumbs down. I may want, like today, the stupid bowl. Two teams are going to play. Only one team is going to be successful. So, Krishna is in the heart of everybody on both sides of the team. So Krishna has a job. Who is he going to allow to win? And who is he going to allow to lose? That's why he's Krishna. But at the end of the day, by tonight, somebody's going to be crying and somebody's going to be ecstatic. Yes, Mahesh? Okay, after class, I'll show you that verse too. Just so that we may accept you as captain of the ship. So that is Karnadhar. Everybody say. Karnadhar means the holder of the ear. Because when you are have a ship, somebody has to say, okay, turn the wheel this way. Turn the wheel this way. Right? Because the ship doesn't just go on a straight line. Sometimes it has... So they make the ship go in different directions. So the captain of the ship, everybody on that boat is dependent on the captain. In the movie Titanic, they had several scenes where you had the captain and then you had the guy who built the ship. And they made a big mistake. Because the captain was telling the guy the millionaire who built the ship, you know, this is its first voyage. I don't know if, no, but the guy wanted to prove a point. He wanted to get to the destination ahead of schedule. So against the captain's advice, he gave the order, let it go. And what happened? They hit iceberg. They should have listened to the captain. Yes. Iceberg means a big chunk of ice in the middle of the water. And if your ship hits that, you are sunk. Drown, die, as the movie shows. Hundreds of people died. So you don't go against the captain. You don't go against your guru. If your guru says, do this, you do it. When I was, previous years, with the kids, I used to play a game, Guru Says. It's a take of the American game, Simon Says. So I made it Guru Says. And so I would have the kids, Guru says, do this. And if the guru said, then you do it. But if guru doesn't say, then you don't do it. That's right. So you only do what guru says, yeah? Right. So in the same way, we always do what guru says. Not what we think. We do what guru says. All right, purport. The age of Kali is very dangerous for the human being. Human life is simply meant for self-realization. But due to this dangerous age, men have completely forgotten the aim of life. In this age, the lifespan will gradually decrease. People will gradually lose their memory, finer sentiments, strength, and better qualities. A list of the anomalies for this age is given in the 12th canto of this work. And so this age is very difficult for those who want to utilize this life for self-realization. The people are so busy with sense gratification that they completely forget about self-realization. out of madness, they frankly say that there is no need for self-realization because they do not realize that this brief life is but a moment on our great journey towards self-realization. The whole system of education is geared to sense gratification. And if a learned man thinks it over, he sees that his children of this age are being intentionally set to the slaughterhouses of so-called education. Learned men, therefore, must be cautious of this age. And if they at all want to cross over the dangerous ocean of Kali, they must follow the footsteps of the sages of Naimisharanya and accept Sri Suta Goswami, or his bona fide representative, as the captain of the ship. The ship is the message of Lord Sri Krishna in the shape of Bhagavad Gita or the Srimad Bhagavatam. And now for the final verse of this chapter. Yes? He just explained it, but you didn't catch it. That's why you need a spiritual trainer. Listen what he said previously. This age is very difficult for those who want to utilize this life for self-realization. The people are so busy with sense gratification that they completely forget about self-realization. Out of madness, they frankly say that there is no need for self-realization. The whole system of education is geared towards sense gratification. So, you went to school here in America. How many classes on self-realization did you take? Thank you. That's what Prabhupada's talking about. Your boys. Why are you insisting that your boys attend this class? Because in school, they're not being taught anything except things which are going to enable them to enjoy sense gratification. So that's what Prabhupada is talking about. Slaughterhouse means killing the soul. There's no spiritual education or knowledge being disseminated. So only in ISKCON temples or in private programs like this are the children going to get any kind of spiritual training. Now, Prabhupada is not opposed to children getting education because they're going to have to live in the material world, but not to the exclusion of self-realization. So, just like, again, the Garmalkar boys, they have been with me. Mukund was with me since he was little, and the other two from birth, they've been with me. And now, Sri Vallabh is reaping. He sees how his sons, now they're teenagers, but they're devotees, and they want to do devotional service. They're not turning out to be mudhas. They're not turning out to be rascals. They're turning out to be very good children. Mudha means rascal. Mudha means jackass. Okay? That's a Krishna word. Mudha, asses. So now he's very, very happy. Like his son Mukund has turned out to be a very good boy, very responsible. So, and Kalpesh and Sheetal Patel was asking. So Sri Vallabh was telling them, yes, go to temple, come to Namahat, your son will be okay. He was telling her, he has personal experience. Because I said, they've been with me from the beginning. Now does that... Yep. Yes. Okay, Mahesh, is your question answered? All right, final verse of the chapter. Ring the bell. JJ. Okay. Let's see. Hold on. Bruhi Yogeshvare Krishne Brahmanye Dharma Varamani Swang Kashtam Adunopete Dharma Kam Sharanam Gataha. Okay, here we go. Please repeat. Since Sri Krishna, the absolute truth, the master of all mystic powers, has departed for his own abode, please tell us to whom religious principles have now gone for shelter. So, this verse is the final of the six questions. I told you previously that the sages of Naimisharanya, headed by No. Shaunaka. Who was their guru? No. I'm asking. He's their leader. Who is their guru? Who are they going to hear Bhagavatam from? Sutta. Yeah. Okay. So, this is the final question of the six. And this is very important. Now, look at the translation, everybody. Two parts of that translation describe Krishna. What are the two parts of the sentence that describe Krishna? Go ahead. In that translation, there are two phrases which describe Krishna. Tell us something about Krishna. The absolute... What did you say? That's one. What's the next one? Ring that bell. This is how you read. You don't just read... No. You have to read and understand what you're reading. That's my job. That's how I will teach you. Critical thinking. Now, what, according to this translation, what has Krishna done? Read it. What does he do? What did he do? Ring that bell three times. Excellent. Now I know you're reading. What is the question, not you, what is the question they are asking Sutta? What is the question? Not you. Good. That tells me now that you boys understand what you're reading. If you can't answer a question, then that tells me you don't know what you're reading.
They have problem trouble with, even in the school also, they have a problem with reading and understanding, comprehension.
So then you have to work on it, and I will help you. Next question. Who is this? In this translation, who is the subject? Who are they talking about?
Krishna.
Thank you. Good. Fine. All right. Are you ready for the purport? Essentially, religion is the prescribed codes enunciated by the personality of Godhead himself. Where does Prabhupada get that? From a statement in the sixth canto by Yamaraj. Whenever there is a gross misuse or neglect of the principles of religion, the Supreme Lord appears himself to restore religious principles. This is stated in Bhagavad Gita 4:8, which I'm going to talk about tonight at Radharaman Temple. Here, the sages of Naimisharanya are inquiring about these principles. The reply to this question is given later. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the transcendental sound representation of the personality of Godhead, and thus it is the full representation of transcendental knowledge and religious principles. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the first canto, first chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Questions by the Sages. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra. Two more times. One more time.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.